Are you sure about that?
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
That's right, that's right. Salute your sports here on August 29th, 2018. I am Matthew Terry, James Stanley on the board, Chris Mitchell right beside me as we are getting ready for the Missouri Tigers to kick off their football season as they do on Saturday as James continues to play this distortive music right while I'm talking. And is just slowly fading it down until it just gets less and less annoying to the point where it's not there anymore. Every week I'm surprised with what you come up with to intro the show.
Are you sure about that?
All right.
One more time?
Yeah, just do one more time. Third time's a charm. That's my response when people ask if I think Drew Locke's going to win the Heisman. Anyways, getting right into it here.
Can't be that good.
Will you stop?
Hold on, all the stops today, Matthew.
Thank you.
It's time.
I appreciate the massive overproduction of the show as you're just continually trying to throw me off by playing whatever you have on your USB drive.
No. Come on. They do have context, and it's working very well.
All right, fine.
It's unbelievable.
All right, whatever. Anyways. Greatest. Basically, we're just going to talk this entire show about Missouri football because we have a big season coming up for the Missouri Tigers. Drew Locke's senior year, trying to kick off his Heisman campaign off the back of a 6-game winning streak to end the 2017 season. 6 straight very good wins for the Tigers, including wins over very good programs, an unfortunate loss to a bowl game. But that has got Columbia hyped up for this 2018 season. Bringing back almost the entire offense, losing Jamon Moore and Ish Witter, but bringing back everybody else, returning star defensive lineman Terry Beckner Jr., and a whole cast of talented defensive players for this Missouri team. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but the first thing that I wanted to touch on about the Missouri program is something basketball-related, and that's the Mizzou basketball dropped some new uniforms today.
Yeah.
That's right. For those that haven't seen them, Mizzou just touched upon their normal home white jerseys by adding just a thin black and gold stripe on all of the sleeves and on the collar and on the waistband.
And it's also a throwback to to the old 1990s jerseys that had the Missouri kind of spelled out
Black
letters across the chest.
Yeah, it's a perfect mix of that, like, of that old style jersey that they had back in the 90s that looked so clean with the new gold that they're adding, since it's more of a lighter color, along with the new font that they've added in these past like 10 years or so, and really brings it all together. They have the columns on the waistband and just a little thing like right there. Looks very good. It looks very clean. Lots of reasons to be hyped about Mizzou basketball this year, and the home jerseys are definitely one of them.
Well, I also like how they've kind of changed it with the white football jerseys. It looks very similar. It's like there's no border on the outline.
Yeah.
It just kind of bleeds into the jersey.
Like
very clean, very
crisp. Like last year, Mizzou changed their white football jerseys. They got rid of the gray shoulders and just went basically solid white up and down. And I really like the change. I wasn't a fan of the gray shoulders before, but the all white with the black and the gold trim just looks fantastic.
Which I don't even know where gray comes in their color scheme.
Yeah,
The first time Missouri wore gray was against KU 2009, when they had the beast mode jerseys. That was Derek Washington's last Border War game for the Missouri Tigers before he got kicked off the team. But supposedly, since Missouri wore gray in that one, is supposed to pay homage to the Border War, because part of KU's uniform were high red stockings, which is what the Jayhawks wore during the 1850s and 1860s. That's why they were called Red Legs.
Yeah.
But supposedly that's what the homage was paying to. Confederates wore gray, so they gave Missouri gray uniforms. That's one theory. The other theory, which I think is a little more plausible, is that they were trying to give a tip or a tip of the cap to Whiteman Air Force Base with the B-2 bombers, because that Missouri is one of the largest Air Force bases in the entire United States that actually they have bombers in Sedalia, Missouri, which also goes to the Mink League team, the Sedalia Bombers, why they chose that name. That's a totally different can of worms. But there's an Air Force base, Whiteman Air Force Base, right outside Sedalia. And they can fly bombing missions from there all the way over to the Middle East or pretty much anywhere in the entire world. Yeah. And supposedly the uniforms 2009 were tipping a cap to the United States Air Force.
Yeah. And also, done well, gray can look very good as a jersey.
Or anthracite.
Yes, exactly, which is what Mizzou football uses a lot.
Unless it's the illegal jerseys. Were you guys here for the illegal jerseys?
I wasn't here for those illegal jerseys, no.
They had, it was a anthracite jersey. Mm-hmm. With anthracite numbers, same color.
Yeah.
It might have been like a different bit of a black and then mm-hmm. had a gold outline around the numbers, and they were nearly impossible to see.
Oh, yeah. I remember last year Florida A&M did something similar where they had white jerseys with orange trim on the numbers and white numbers. Made it absolutely impossible to tell on TV who each player was, and they got penalized a timeout every quarter because they had to keep wearing the jerseys because they didn't bring new jerseys to Arkansas. Those are the only ones they brought.
What do you mean I don't have another pair of pants? There's a pair of pants we got.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. That's shout out to Florida A&M last year. But enough about that program. Enough about that program down south that I just named before. Because right now we need to talk about some...
Alabama!
That's not what I meant. Right now we need to talk about some Mizzou football. So like I mentioned, going to be a big season for the Missouri Tigers, hopefully. So right now we're going to go into, first things first, our game-by-game preview of the Missouri football team. And right off the bat, this weekend, the Tigers have UT Martin at home at 3 p.m. at Faurot Field. And, gentlemen, is there any way, shape, or form you see this one going poorly for Mizzou?
Let me think about it.
It shouldn't, but it could. That's the biggest problem with this team. This team has some of the same members that lost to
Middle Tennessee State.
Middle Tennessee State. That's even worse.
No, it's Middle Tennessee State is much better than UT Martin. Middle Tennessee State is an FBS program that had one of the better quarterbacks in the Conference USA.
Okay, I guess that makes a little bit
UT
better,
Martin is an FCS team. Even when Missouri's bad, they still beat these teams.
I don't know why Missouri's not scheduling tougher teams on homecoming. You'd think that would kind of get the crowd fired up.
Oh, sell more tickets to those smaller teams.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why they get games like Idaho, get games like Memphis at homecoming, is so that they sell more tickets to the Idaho and to the Memphis game.
Interesting.
Because the SEC games are going to sell. They just need the other ones to sell.
Well, because I just think back to the Big 12 that they always played homecoming.
Our freshman year, 2015, they played Florida for homecoming.
Yeah, and I can't believe the last 2 years.
Middle Tennessee State and Idaho.
It's also a completely different animal is what this team was even when you and I were freshmen.
Yeah, it's true.
As to everything that's happened. So with selling tickets, then they got to do what they got to do. But
UT Martin, I want to chalk this one up for as a quick W. Any opposition?
It should be. The score should be 62-10.
Okay.
That's what the score should be.
Yeah.
But once again, we never know with the Missouri Tigers football program what we're going to get.
All right, we're going to go quickly into this next game against Wyoming. Wyoming did lose talented quarterback Josh Allen to the NFL draft, but...
They're currently power ranked number 4 in the country.
That's true.
That's right. They're,
Wyoming already 1-0 this season, but Mizzou should easily dispatch of them. Not as easily as UT Martin. Wyoming, I do feel, will give them a little bit of trouble, will be a little bit of a scare in the first quarter because Wyoming does have a good defense. But Mizzou should dispatch of Wyoming with ease. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on Wyoming since that was the only game I had access to when they were playing New Mexico State. And for their defense did play very well against to frame this, New Mexico State isn't a very good football team. And it clearly showed on, both sides of the ball. But even when, Wyoming's defense was just absolutely dominating New Mexico State's offense, they had some issues scoring points for most of the game. It wasn't until the New Mexico State's defense ended up just getting completely worn out that they were just able to run the ball down their throats.
Yeah. Well, and this game, this series, originally Mizzou was supposed to play home and away against Wyoming.
I think they still are. I think next year they're going to Wyoming.
Because last year they originally had it. I mean, you can go on MUTigers.com and see that the schedules are 5 years in advance. That's what it was in 2013, 2014. So 2017... They were playing at the airplane hangar. Is that the
hangar? Oh, no, that is that's Idaho you're thinking of as the Kibbe Dome.
Okay, I thought that Wyoming also had an airplane hangar.
Wyoming might. Next year they open up the season at Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
Before hosting West Virginia.
Ooh.
Fun. But anyways, Wyoming. W for the Tigers. Any opposition?
Probably. I can see it. Defense might give them a little bit
score,
more trouble.
Score predictions, I think you're right, can be close. Mm-hmm. I think 38-17 is a...
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be close for most of the game, and then what, like Missouri's up 24-17 for up to the fourth quarter, then scores two more touchdowns.
It'll be within two possessions after the first half. But after that, Mizzou will just pull away because of the talent on the team. And so now we get into what I feel will be the first big test for this Missouri Tigers team, going on the road to West Lafayette, Indiana on September 15th at Purdue.
Whew.
A team that, for lack of a better term, embarrassed the Tigers at home last year on Parents Weekend.
Lordy.
When Purdue beat Mizzou 35-3 at Faurot Field. This is a Purdue team led by one of the better young head coaches in the nation in Jeff Brohm. They're going to be on the rise in the Power Five. They're not the laughingstock that they were just a few short years ago. It's going to be a tough test for the Missouri Tigers, and I do not see Mizzou coming away with a victory.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how Purdue was able to, you know, kind of get all their eggs in a basket and come close to being a formidable power in the FBS, let alone the Big Ten. And the thing is, like, they had very little turnover when it comes to, like, personnel on their team. So it's not like they had a bunch of seniors leave last year. It's a fairly young team, and they're only just going to get more experience from here.
Missouri has struggled in non-conference games through the first part of the season. Ones that come to mind are last year against West Virginia, losing that one on the road in Morgantown.
Yep.
And the other one that comes to mind is when they played Arkansas State. That was during our freshman year, Terry.
Matthew. The Kentrell brothers, a takeover game, I like to call it, with two interceptions and a block.
But that game was way too
It was entirely way too close because the offense shouldn't score because the offense was terrible in 2015.
So, but
Kentrell brothers willed this team to a victory.
I think that Mizzou gets revenge on Purdue after what happened last season, and I think Mizzou barely escapes with a win out of West Lafayette, Indiana, 24-21.
Okay. Yep. I think Purdue. I'm giving it 31-21 Purdue.
Well, and here's the thing. Like we've already talked about this before the show. Consensus is that best case scenario, they probably go 8-4. Worst case scenario, 6-6, and most likely 7-5. Mm-hmm. The problem is that, you know, where are these losses throughout the schedule?
Yeah.
It could be that they beat Purdue week 3, but then absolutely lay an egg against Vanderbilt at home on November 10th.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes so back and forth with this Tigers team because we don't know what to expect. Because we saw two different Mizzou teams last year. And now we don't know which one's going to show up for most of the games this year.
Hopefully the one that was there at the second half of the season.
I hope it's the one where Drew Locke took over the SEC and threw 42 touchdowns, I believe.
To play devil's advocate with you here, Matthew, is this team, what did that team have a turning point? I know that Barry Odom came out with the speech and all that and saying that they threw all their old playbooks, everything in the dumpsters and or in a trash can, and they lit it on fire. And the team turned around after that. But this is a team that lost all of its games against teams that were above 500 and won all of its games against teams that were below 500. And that was consistent throughout the entire year going into the Texas Bowl in Houston in December.
I'm of the opinion that Barry Odom got away with some very favorable scheduling, that he got away with playing a Florida team that just got their head coach fired. They played Tennessee right before Butch Jones got fired. Played an Arkansas team that was in the dumpster. They played Vanderbilt at the end of the season. All these teams that generally aren't that good or were in some sort of turmoil, and that's how Mizzou was able to rattle off win after win after win. The thing that gives me a little bit more hope about this Tigers team is how dominant Mizzou looked in all those games. They didn't squeak by with a victory against Florida. They beat them by 30 here in Columbia. They didn't squeak by against Tennessee. They put up 50 on them and at one point had turnovers on three consecutive plays. This Missouri team showed it had the talent and the mental strength to be dominant. They just need to show that against teams that aren't dumpster fires. And that's why I'm concerned when they play Purdue, because I haven't seen anything from that. If they go on the road to Purdue and put up a fight, they go on the road and either win, lose a close one like they did to Kentucky back when we saw the team start to turn around a little bit and the offense start to score a little bit more, that's when I'm going to be a little bit more confident in this team. But right now, I don't know about that, especially with the outrageously hard stretch that Mizzou has right after that Purdue game. And let's get into that one right now. The first game of that stretch being Georgia at home. Ooh. National runners-up, ranked, I believe, third in the preseason.
Third or fourth.
By like AP. That. Georgia, a team that has beaten Mizzou each of the last four times they've met. The last two times Georgia has come to Faurot Field was a 34-0 victory in 2014 and a 8-24 victory back in 2016 with the Jamon Moore fumble at the end of that game.
Also in the north end zone.
Yes. And
stay woke.
I believe that Georgia has too much talent, and they just have the edge over Mizzou. Mizzou gave them a bit of a run in Athens last year, and I don't think Mizzou just has enough to beat Georgia. I'm giving this one to the Bulldogs.
I got to agree with you, Matthew. 42-28 is the final score I have. I think that Georgia just runs it down Mizzou's throat, and I think that maybe those three touchdowns, or out of the four touchdowns, three of them come in the second half, and if not, toward the very end of the game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a day late and a dollar short for Missouri, but I think Georgia's going to be extremely dominant in that game. But looking at the rest of the schedule, how lucky did Mizzou get to only have two ranked teams in their schedule? I know that, you know, this, that everything can change, and it will change throughout the season, but being in the SEC, they've gotten extremely lucky with only having two ranked teams so far in the schedule, because when they first joined the SEC, there were several.
I don't think you can call drawing Alabama from the West lucky.
Well, could you imagine if Mizzou was in the West?
It's true.
Having to play Alabama every year.
Alabama and Auburn every year and Mississippi State, who should
and
be
And they
good.
Could still end up in the West if more conference and more conferences full.
Personal argument, South Carolina should be ranked to start the year.
They're
good. They're very good. Mizzou has to go on the road to South Carolina. Yes, it's after a bye. That's their next game. But, Chris, you want to, before we jump into that, Chris, thoughts on the Georgia game, Mizzou win or loss?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm probably going to chalk this one up as a loss. Yeah, I get, you know, people might talk about, oh, Georgia's probably going to be rattled after they were so close to winning the championship and just kind of farted it away. They're still too talented to, like, I don't know, like cough up a loss against Mizzou in Columbia. So I'm going to give this one to the Dogs.
Yeah. And what I was just getting into before, real quick, the South Carolina game. South Carolina, led by Jake Bentley, who I believe is one of the more underrated players in the country. Very good quarterback that not many people are talking about as like part of that national contingent of great quarterbacks right alongside Drew Locke. And I just think being on the road at South Carolina, Jake Bentley and Deebo Samuel are going to be too much for the Tigers. And I know it sounds like I'm a broken record with the amount of L's that I'm giving Mizzou right now, but that's just how hard of a stretch these games are for them.
Well, and there's also one other point is that that South Carolina game on October 6th, Mizzou has a bye on the 29th.
They do.
Georgia then plays South Carolina, and Georgia is going to destroy South Carolina and Mizzou in back-to-back weeks.
Potentially.
Both those teams are going to be looking for some sort of momentum. That's going to be a dogfight in Columbia, South Carolina. But I just don't think that this team, unless they get off to a hot start and picked up where they left off last year, with the, you know, throwing out the old playbook and playing together as a team. If they're not like that, then momentum shift is going to go to South Carolina early in this season. And Mizzou's going to be 3-2 by my count, but 2-3 through your count.
2-3 Matthew, through my count. And Chris, what
about
you?
The first five games.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like any other time where Mizzou goes to Columbia, it's probably going to be a rough one. I want to cover your eyes, but it's really going to be like someone who like, it's going to be like, you hear this a lot, kind of like jargon, like, who wants it more? And you're probably going to end up seeing more from South Carolina than you do from Mizzou. So give them this one to the Gamecocks.
If Mizzou plays that one at home, I think they might win it.
I agree.
Yeah,
I just think it's the fact it's the on the road at the
home
other
field advantage
South
makes
Carolina.
A lot of a difference in college football. And it is massive, especially in these toss-up games.
A little bit of a pork joke, but
yeah, yes.
Dun-dun-dun.
Fair. And then the Tigers take their fateful once every 12 years trip to Tuscaloosa, where they play defending national champions Alabama. Oh, God.
A day with destiny,
oh, I'm
baby.
Terrified of this game. Oh, am I sad. I'm just chalking this one up to an L, not really getting into it much more than Alabama has two of the more talented quarterbacks in the country. That's not even getting into every other position on this team of how stacked talent-wise they are. Alabama's just a mean, mean football team, and I think they're going to do some mean, mean things to the Tigers on their homecoming night.
Final score, 49-7?
No, I'll give Mizzou's offense a little bit more credit because Alabama does have a weaker, using that word in quotation marks, because it's still Alabama secondary than usual. I could see Mizzou putting up 21 to 28 points even. It's just that they're going to give up 50.
So I will say this, Matthew. You have them going 2-4.
I'm 2-4 right now.
Through the first six games. So that means this is a narrative like last season.
Yes, because of how tough the schedule is at the beginning of the year. The stretch, Purdue, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama are arguably the four toughest teams they're going to face this year. Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, without a doubt, the three toughest teams they're going to face next year. They have to play them all right in a row. Yes, you get a bye week, but then you go on the road to South Carolina, a team that, again, has had their number in the past, has beaten them the last three, or has beaten them the last 2 years. A team that's poised to make a run at the SEC East if Georgia slips up. South Carolina's tough, as much as it pains me to say that. And I think Mizzou is going to hit a similar stretch to what they did last year, where they start poorly, but then they rebound and go into the second half of the season fine.
Chris, do you have any argument against Mizzou beating Alabama?
I don't, but here's what I think they should do. I've been seeing a lot of how some, like, since for viewers at home, the home opener for Alabama is Louisville, and the way Louisville players are sort of prepping for playing Alabama is they're not chickening out. They're not scared. They're, you know, puffing out their chest. You know, mm-hmm. They're being aggressive. Like, oh, we're ready to, you know, take on the tide. We're ready to do this. I feel like if Mizzou wants to come out of there and not get mentally rattled as well as rattled, you know, points-wise, they're going to have to put up some sort of front, some sort of, you know, at least some sort of swagger.
The hilarious thing is that Louisville players are getting clowned online for that because they're going to get ran by Alabama. Anyways, let's keep going a little bit. Memphis up next, homecoming.
It's a must win.
It definitely is a must win. I have it up as a win for the Missouri Tigers. This is where they rebound. This is their Idaho game from last year. Memphis is a lot tougher. They do have one of the better group of five coaches in Mike Norvell. But Mizzou still has a lot of talent. They still have Drew Locke, and they still have a good offensive team that can beat Memphis.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be close, but I have Mizzou winning 35-28. There's going to be a lot of Memphis people in Columbia for that
Definitely.
Game. That's going to be a hot ticket for that, especially if they make it a night game. Mm-hmm. Memphis Ooh. is not too far from Columbia.
About 6 hours?
Yeah, I think they have every reason to make it a night game, and Memphis travels well.
They do travel
We've
well.
We've seen this in the NCAA tournament with their basketball fans. They're football fans, and football's getting bigger in Memphis as time gets on.
Thanks to Norvell, and thanks to the players on that team.
So I think that this has a real chance. There are so many flashbacks now just thinking, you know how Mizzou has that one corner of the mm-hmm. south end zone? Well,
where
they put the Wave fans this year.
Yeah.
But how they always had like that little corner that'd be filled up.
The corner in like the southwest.
Yeah, southwest corner of the end zone. Just going back to thinking of the Nebraska games that Mizzou played in the Big 12, mm-hmm. there would be red spilling out of that section.
The Georgia games we've seen.
And the Georgia games,
Florida
too.
Florida games we've seen.
People travel well, and with Memphis not being that far away from this, well, not just from the state of Missouri, but from Columbia, I think there's going to be at least maybe 2,000 Memphis fans.
I could definitely see it. I do have some friends from Memphis who said their parents and their families are coming to this game because it's a big game for Memphis. It's a Power 5 team. Those games are always big.
Team that travels very well, and there's a good chance that Memphis could upset Mizzou, but I still have them winning by a touchdown. What say you, Chris?
The one thing you got to remember about Memphis is this isn't really a team you can stick your nose up at, as you've seen, like, you know, something like last year where they went toe-to-toe with co-national champions UCF in the Matt sees the vision. Anyways, going toe-to-toe with them in their title game, going into like multiple overtimes and, you know, scoring a combined like 100-ish points with UCF. This Memphis team is going to come out probably really going to try to score a lot of points. I expect this one to be, you know, probably not something like, I don't know, like both teams score at least 40, but, you know, I expect a high-octane offense from both teams. I think Mizzou could probably eke out a win. I think they could do it. I'm going to couple that up as a W.
I think in this one, this is where Mizzou gets back on track, and then I just have them. The next game is at home against Kentucky.
Which the next five games are all against the SEC East, except with the exception of Arkansas on the day after Thanksgiving.
And their out-of-conference is done. After UT Martin, Wyoming, Purdue, Memphis, that's their out-of-conference. It's strictly SEC opponents. And this is the part of the schedule we saw Mizzou pick it up last year with their wins over Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. That's where I see Mizzou picking it up again this year with a win at home against Kentucky. Beating Kentucky, might I add, for the first time since 2014.
Wow. Given that Kentucky was Mizzou's very first SEC win back in 2012,
yep.
I would never have guessed that the one of the Stoops brothers has been able to stick it to Missouri this much the last four seasons. But, yeah, I agree with you, Matthew. I think they win this one very closely, 28-24. And I think Mizzou, once again, tries to get something back from last year's situation with the referees not going their way.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Yeah, it's going to be probably a close one, but I think Mizzou can probably, you know, take care of business against Kentucky.
All right, we're going to these last four games rather quickly, running a little bit longer than we assumed. But Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Arkansas, the general way I see this one going is that Mizzou loses either to Florida or Tennessee on the road, beats the other, and wins the two home games of Vanderbilt and Arkansas. And after that long season last year with a lot of turmoil, and after the hope going into this year, they end up, in my mind, 7-5 again.
I got to agree with you, Matthew. 7-5, reality. Best case scenario, 8-4, which we're going to take some outrageous opinions on the next segment about Mizzou football. But then worst case scenario, 6-6. I think this team will still make a bowl game.
I think so, too.
Pretty good chance at least playing after Christmas Day.
Yeah, hopefully.
That sounds good.
And one last thing before we go to a break, and then we go to our best versus worst segment, which is coming up after this. MVP for the Missouri Tigers team in 2018. Make your prediction.
You got to go with Drew Lock, right?
You kind of have to. And Drew Lock was the first name I thought of for obvious reasons. He has a good year. He could go number one in the NFL draft.
And he has a bobblehead.
Exactly. Which we're not really going to get into. But I do think someone unnamed MVP or unheralded MVP that could be really good is Paul Adams. Ooh. Helping solidify that offensive line that's going to help DeMaria Crock and Larry Roundtree run wild for the Missouri Tigers. James, what about you? MVP for the year?
I'm going to go with Terry Beckner Jr. I'm gonna be the odd man out.
Okay. Yeah, Terry Beckner Jr. should have a...
Give it to a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Good. Really gonna anchor that defensive line. So like I said, we are done with this quick Missouri football preview. When we come back, we're still going to be talking about Missouri football. It's going to be best versus worst. Coming right up here on Salute Your Sports. KCOU.
Give us those takes.
As a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association at this station.
Artu, where are you? Artu? Artu? Artu, you're on fire! Artu, D2, you found a cigarette. Well, I don't think smoking is grown up at all. Because it's very dangerous. Smoking does dreadful things to your lungs and is very bad for your heart. Well, I know I don't have one, but humans do, and I think we should set a good example. Well done, R2. Oh, hello. You know smoking is bad for your health, and it isn't grown up at all. So please, don't smoke. R2. Do you really think I don't have a heart?
Hi, I'm Alec Baldwin for Save the Manatee Club. Manatees are wonderful. Their gentle, playful ways are fascinating to watch. Yet these harmless marine mammals face growing threats to their survival. Many manatees are injured or killed from boat strikes or other human activities, and their habitat is being lost. Manatees need your help. Please call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN or visit www.savethemanatee.org.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back. Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM. I am Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell alongside me. And we're going to go to something new we've thought up here on Salute Your Sports. Still talking about Missouri football because, of course, their season kicks off this Saturday at Faurot Field and they play UT Martin. You, of course, can listen to that game on KCOU right here at 3 p.m. on Saturday. But right now, we're going to go to best versus worst. And here's how the segment's going to work. James, who in the past 3 years I've known him, has generally been known for being the most optimistic Mizzou fan in going into each season, saying things like Mizzou will go 9-3 in 2016 when they went 4-8. And saying other things like that about the Missouri football team. And in the past few years, I've generally taken the opposite view of that things won't go so well for the Tigers, as if people didn't know that already by my game-by-game preview and how I kept talking about how each team would be better than Mizzou. So we're going to go with the best-case scenario from James Stanley, giving his best-case scenario for the Mizzou season. And in return, I will give, to each point James makes, my worst-case scenario. And Chris will decide between those two which one he feels is more likely. So, James, kick off the season for us. How is the best thing going to happen for the Tigers?
Well, I have them winning the first two games. I don't think there's any dispute among the three of us.
Worst case scenario, they beat UT Martin, but Wyoming's opportunistic torments Drew Locke and company all day. Mizzou looks past Wyoming with a big match at Purdue the next week, and Wyoming stuns the Tigers at Faurot Field.
So you have a 1-1 in the first two games.
1-1 in the first two games is the worst case scenario for the Tigers. I still believe in the worst case scenario, they beat UT Martin.
It's plausible. It's plausible.
If Wyoming didn't have this defense, which ranked top 15 last year.
It's pretty good.
All right, so 2-0 versus 1-1. Week three, Purdue. I got them winning 35-21.
Oh, it's easy loss. It's Purdue. They beat Mizzou 35-3 at Faurot Field last year.
I don't believe those.
Yes.
Someone woke up on the right side of the bed today.
1-2 so far for this for Mizzou.
Did you have some Trump in your coffee? Like, what's going on? What's going on, Matthew?
Ouch. I'm sorry.
Versus number 3 Georgia at home.
Loss.
Best case scenario.
LOL loss.
Mizzou gets the W, gets the upset. And
I'm not even going to let you finish because it's Georgia. And they're going to trounce the Tigers. 1-3 for Mizzou in those first four games.
Okay, so going into South Carolina, I have them winning that one as well, 28-21. I have them 5-0 through the first five going into week 6 at Alabama. Matthew, who do you have in week five?
In my regular, more realistic predictions, I think Mizzou loses to both these teams anyways. So, of course, they're still going to lose to these two teams. Mizzou is 1-5 after the first six games.
Well, here, I'm going to raise...
James, it's Alabama on the road. How can you say Mizzou will possibly win this game?
I'm going to raise you a scenario.
Okay.
College game day on October 13th is going to be at Alabama, between the number 1 Crimson Tide and the number 5 Missouri Tigers, who are undefeated into that week at Tuscaloosa.
Okay. Okay. So can't even keep a straight face, which I think shows he's on my side so far. But anyways, James, you've laid out your scenario for us. Indulge us. How does this, what does this continue with?
Wins throughout the rest of the season. I have them beating Memphis on homecoming, then
loss.
Win against Kentucky.
At loss.
Home. What do you have them at now? 1-9?
1-a-lot.
One at in Florida, exactly. I have a win.
I do have another scenario which I think will happen in my worst case scenario. After another disappointing homecoming loss against Memphis for Barry Odom, which makes 2 out of 3 losses to group of 5 teams in homecoming in the last 3 years, he has another press conference.
Ooh.
Just like the one he had after the Auburn game, the famed after the Auburn game press conference. Except this time he spontaneously combusts in the middle of his press conference. And Mizzou needs a new coach, and they need to hire another Missouri to take over.
Oh, God.
So in steps Kim Anderson to take over the Missouri Tigers team. Kim Anderson coaches the Missouri football Tigers.
Oh, my
they
goodness.
Lose
this is not even
lose.
Sports journalism at
and
this
lose.
Point.
It wasn't. Wait, are you telling me at one point it was?
No.
Okay, good, because it's...
At least it had some journalistic integrity. Not now.
The facade is gone now.
The journalistic integrity left when I said they'd lose to Wyoming. They lose to Memphis. They lose to Kentucky. They lose to Florida. Even with Kim Anderson at the helm, they can still beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
They lose to Tennessee.
So they basically pull a Cardinals firing Mike Matheny.
Except they keep losing. They lose to Arkansas. Mizzou goes 2-10. Drew Locke falls to the third round of the draft due to his poor play throughout the season. Terry Beckner falls even further, coupled with the fact that he's had injury history and that this defensive line class in the NFL draft is talented and could feature multiple first-round picks. And even if Terry Beckner does well, he's still not going to go that high in the draft because of how many good defensive tackles there are. Terry Beckner falls to the fourth round of the draft. Drew Locke to the third. Kim Anderson, after his stunning win at home against Vanderbilt, gets hired for another season.
Yeah,
Mizzou plunges into darkness as the south end zone. The south end zone is also not done on time. And we have to play the next season at the Hearn Center.
That's how it'd be sometimes. I like how in our darkest timeline nightmare scenario, we still end up beating Vanderbilt and Eugene Martin.
Exactly.
Can't be that good!
Exactly.
Also,
it's a nightmare scenario, but I still want to be a little bit realistic. Kim Anderson could lead Mizzou to a win over Vanderbilt.
Also,
what?
In your darkest scenario, who drafts Drew Locke in the third round?
Oh, the Patriots.
And then he becomes the next Tom Brady.
Oh.
Or if you want to go like the awful scenario, there are two ways you can look at it. You can go, I want Drew Locke to succeed as a quarterback because then he has to go to the Browns because we know he won't do that even after they draft Baker Mayfield.
Right.
But you can also be like, I want to root for Drew Locke in the NFL. In that worst case scenario, he goes to the Patriots.
True.
Where he becomes good and torments for all the Missouri people here, the Chiefs, for the next 15 years.
Oh, God.
All right. So
exactly.
In this situation, I think that Mizzou changes their fight song, too.
Okay.
Oh.
The columns collapse. This university just goes through. They bottom out of the bottom of the tank. Yep. In Matthew Terry's situation.
The fight song just gets slower and slower.
I got one more outlandish prediction here, Matthew Terry.
For it.
Drew Locke wins the Heisman.
Okay.
And then Terry Beckner Jr. is the runner-up.
Ooh, yeah. That's spicy. I like that.
That's bold. So, Chris, you have two choices to make. Which one do you feel is the more realistic? Either Mizzou goes 2-10, Kim Anderson's the football head coach going into next year, or Mizzou goes 12-0, Drew Locke and Terry Beckner finish 1-2 in the Heisman race.
That's a good one. See, like, obviously, like, I don't think Mizzou is good enough to go undefeated in the schedule.
Does that mean I'm right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or bad enough to like do all of that. But it would be so choice and so very on brand for Mizzou to go 2-10 and for some outlandish coaches.
Yes. I think that it's more likely they go 2-10 than go 12-0.
Yeah, basically.
Yes, I do. I will concede that.
Okay, I agree.
Congratulations, Terry.
I won. Speaking of things that I did not win last week, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we've got everyone's favorite Salute Your Sports game show, Or Nah, coming right up here on KCOU 88.1.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council. I gamble on your
love, baby. While gambling can be fun if you're of a legal age, it's not a risk-free activity. For some college students, gambling for fun can turn into a serious problem and have a negative impact on their lives. Visit www.collegegambling.org to learn more about college gambling, how to make responsible decisions, and where to find resources for help if you have a gambling problem. This resource and message is brought to you by the National Center for Responsible Gaming. Yes, and got a losing hand. And KCOU 88.1 FM.
Hello, hello, welcome back. Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM on a lovely Wednesday afternoon. I'm Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell alongside me, and we're playing everyone's favorite game show. James, hit it, because it's time for Or Nah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That's sweet, sweet music.
All right. And this will be me hosting this edition of Or Nah because I lost last week. So for those that have never listened before, this is how this game works. I have got a few people that fit into a certain category. And this category will be revealed once I'm done explaining the game. But James and Chris quickly have to tell me, did this person do the thing I explained? Is he fit into the category or nah?
Or nah.
Or nah. And I realize we won't have any sound effects for this because I am nowhere near the button to fix it.
You might be a little bit surprised.
Okay, that's fair. Anyways, here we go. There are two things. There are two things that I love more than anything else. I'm going to combine them for this category. That's college football and my beloved, beloved professional wrestling. This category is current WWE superstars that played college football.
I can do this. I think. Yeah, I think I can do this.
James is giving me a death glare at this. So I am going to name a current or former WWE superstar.
Now, you say play college ball. Do you mean play
college football?
Division one?
College football.
Division one. Okay.
College football.
Specify. Division college one, football. NAIA. Is NAIA included?
College
Division
it three? Is college football.
So, okay. Yeah, that means NAIA and Division three. And
exactly.
Division two. Okay.
So my here goodness. We go. There are going to be four rounds for each of you. It'll be fairly simple from that. So we're going to start. Which one of you would like to go first?
Well, Chris, you won last week, so I'll let you defer. I'm the defending champ.
I am holding the belt, as it were.
He is.
Very topical. I'm going to let James start out this time.
All right. You ready, James? Because you look terrified. First man off on the list is The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, did he play college football?
I think he did. I remember hearing, yes, he did.
I like that, actually. It's kind of like, wait, hold up.
Were you not correct? That was the wrong soundbite.
That was the wrong soundbite. There you go. Dwayne The Rock Johnson college football at the University of Miami.
Go Canes.
Yep, exactly. Go Canes. And was fairly good in college football.
I was going to guess it. Well, if you were going to make me name the university, I was going to guess USC. But
no, he was on the 1991 Miami Hurricanes national championship team.
That's right.
Good grief.
Yep.
What Chris, hasn't he done?
Chris, it's okay. Up to you, man.
Okay.
Now, a man that has been known as the face of WWE for years, John Cena. Did he play college football? Hmm.
I don't think he did. I'm going to go with
Are you sure about that?
Get ready, James.
What is it? Is it? Oh, it's good. Okay.
Yes, it's good. John Cena did not play college football. So we're at Chris 1 and James 1. Of course, we also have our tiebreaker question. Shall we need it at the end?
Okay.
James.
I got this.
Here's a current WWE's current Universal Champion, the big dog Roman Reigns.
Who?
Did he play college football? The current champion of WWE.
Just because Chris was laughing, I'm going to go with no.
Former All-ACC defensive end, Joe and I, now known as Roman Reigns in WWE.
Oh, goodness.
Played at Georgia Tech in 2006. Was a part of that ACC Championship 2006 team at G-Tech.
Why are there so many WWE stars that are getting national championship rings and conference championships?
Look, Roman Reigns was an all-ACC defensive end. He was good.
Does this mean that Drew Locke with his bobblehead is going to become the next WWE superstar?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be so good.
Drew Locke and Sophie Cunningham. How about that?
Okay. Chris, going to go back to you on this one.
Back to me.
Yes. What we got? Back to you with a big name. It's the Big Show. Oh. Did he play college football?
I'm gonna say yes.
Big Show did not play college football. He played college basketball because he's 7 feet tall at Wichita State.
Hey, shout out to all my Shocker fans out there.
All right, there you go. James, it is 1-1. You're holding your own in this category.
Sure.
You still look upset with me for picking this.
Might get shown up here.
So, the next man up on this list, one of the more famous wrestlers of all time. This is The Undertaker.
Bill Goldberg?
No.
Goldberg.
The Undertaker. The Undertaker, did he play college football?
I did it again.
I thought you said you were able to do this.
There we go.
Good job, James. You got it right.
There's too many things on the board.
Mr. Undertaker
too many buttons.
Did not play college football. And so now we go on to Chris. The score is Chris 1, James 2. And now, Chris, going on to you, a man who not only starred in WWE, but starred in UFC for this next one, Brock Lesnar. Did he play college football, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
Not only did Brock Lesnar play college football, he played in the NFL.
That's right. Him and Roman Reigns, right? On the same team?
Something like that, maybe.
No?
I don't know. We'll look up at that after this.
I thought
they
both played for the Vikings. Anyways, never mind. Ignore me.
Anyways. We got this next one. James, this one's for you. Already had you answer the question about The Rock. So we're going to go with The Rock's biggest rival in his career, the Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Did he play college football?
I'm going to go with yes.
He did not. No. No, you're wrong.
Aww.
Wrong.
So this is for all the marbles then?
This is for all the marbles. And I've dug a little bit deep into this one and specifically picked this one because it's for Chris, and I know he'll have a little bit of trouble with this one compared to these other ones.
Okay.
Bill Goldberg.
No. I appreciate you randomly naming professional wrestlers. But, Chris,
for Sting.
All the marbles, did the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, rest in peace, play college football?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah!
He did! Dusty Rhodes playing baseball and football at West Texas State, now known as West Texas A&M. And James, now you know why I was so hesitant to answer your question right at the beginning.
it's a valid question.
That's why I didn't answer it.
Ric Flair.
So congrats, Chris. Back-to-back wins. And there's also a reason I was hesitant to answer your question about the Minnesota Vikings. We don't have to get into it because that was my tiebreaker question.
Oh.
Of which WrestleMania featured two former Minnesota Vikings in the main event? And that was this year's past WrestleMania. WrestleMania 34, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
Man, I would have really shot myself in the foot if I tried to confirm that on my phone.
Yeah, definitely. So there you go. Congrats, Chris, on back-to-back or not victories. And that will conclude or not for this week.
We're going to take Vince.
One last short break. When we come back, we've got our statement of the week. We've got some final thoughts going into the week. You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU.
Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out a concert at Cafe Berlin. Looking for that great brunch the morning after a fun night out? Cafe Berlin has you covered there too. Check out their stacked concert schedule and brunch menu at cafeberlincomo.com or check them out at 220 North 10th Street and follow them on Twitter and Facebook at Cafe Berlin and on Instagram at Cafe Berlin Como.
Salute Your Sports into these final 5 minutes here at 4:51, August 29th, 2018. Matthew Terry here, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell by my side as we tick down the final minutes of another great, great hour of fun, of shenanigans. And we're going to go in to our statement of the week.
This is an old tradition.
This is. That we didn't do last week.
It didn't do last year.
Yeah.
So I like the bringing it back here. This is a nod to our roots.
Because Salute Your Sports is an old show. It's been on KCOU for 8 years.
In radio years, how old is... Because I guess like a life cycle for a college student, if you want to say someone lives to be, what, 100 years old?
Sure.
Each year is 25 years. So that means what? This show is...
200 years old?
200 years old.
All right, let's go with that. Sure, why not? Anyways, let's get this statement of the week. Anything about sports or about just life in general, it's a good way to just be able to talk. Chris, lead us off, please.
Okay, I think my statement today is going to be a quick shout-out to Mr. Discount Double Check, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, for finally committing, getting the bag, getting a four-year, $134 million extension with over $100 million guarantees. This is someone that the Packers super-duper needed to, you know, lock up. And now that they got him for four more years, he's stuck with him through hell or high water. So shout-out to the Packers for getting their man, getting probably the second-best quarterback in the league, who is probably going to be the best quarterback in the league very soon.
Well, actually, mine, I'm kind of extending this. We're going to, first of all, answer our trivia question off of Twitter, which is, on this date in baseball history, the very first MLB baseball broadcast was sponsored by a sponsor, if you will.
By Wheaties.
By Wheaties. In what year was it? Any guess? I already told you guys the
answer. I got three chances to do this, and I got all three chances wrong.
Good job, Chris.
But 1939 was the answer.
Yeah.
Wheaties sponsored the Cincinnati Reds at the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was broadcast in New York City. Only 500 people had television sets for that game. I was trying to find out how much money Wheaties got charged for that sponsorship.
Yep.
I was unable to find it. I'm sure it's some ridiculously low price.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But then I guess going into the statement of the week, mine's got to be on Drew Locke and his bobblehead. I am not one that's in favor of college athletes being paid because I think they know what they sign up for. You realize you're giving your body to the university to get a free education. Right. And there's money under the table anyways. But making a bobblehead of somebody and then not giving them any money for it, that is not right.
Yeah.
You're using it's one thing to sell a jersey that says number 3 on it with no name on the back. That's one thing. It's another thing to use somebody's likeness. Although I guess if you don't even want to call it Drew Locke's likeness, because the bobblehead has brown eyes and he has blue eyes. But the fact here is that this is not right. Using somebody's name on an object, then giving them away to season ticket holders without giving them any money, that is not right in any way possible.
And for my statement of the week, I'm going to do a quick ode to one of my favorite athletes of all time across all sports who announced his retirement today. Talking about American soccer legend Clint Dempsey. the highest scoring American player in Premier League history, scored 50 goals for Fulham and scored 7 goals for my personally beloved Tottenham Hotspur. Ends his career as the Seattle Sounders, my favorite MLS club, their joint top scorer of all time. Ends as the joint top scorer in American history in international competition. Clem Dempsey was an amazing forward who helped bring in a lot of people like me to the game of soccer. It's a shame that Clint had to go this final year without scoring and having to deal with injuries. But thank you, Clint Dempsey, for all of your great memories. I will forever miss you, Deuce, wearing the rave green every weekend when the Sounders take the field. And that's going to be where we leave off for Salute Your Sports this week. Again, Mizzou football. Yep. Mizzou football against UT Martin on KCOU at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Coming up right after this, we've got the Pulse at 5 o'clock. So make sure you stay tuned here again on 88.1 KCOU. Thank you, James. Thank you, Chris, for once again joining me for another fantastic Wednesday afternoon of radio. And to all of those listening, thank you for listening along. It's been a good day, everyone. Stay safe.